At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
President is still going in the Oval Office with Benjamin Netanyahu. We hit pause. That's the beauty of technology. So we're going to hit unpause. I don't think unpause is an actual button. I think we're going to hit play. Is you hit pause, you don't hit unpause. You hit play. We're going to hit play and pick up right where we were. President and Netanyahu discussing all kinds of different things. But primarily this press conference in the Oval Office is absolutely been dominated by trade here. No question about that. As the market is kind of all over the place today. It's been a wacky Monday, but not a black Monday. That's the nice thing. The good news is that it's not a black Monday. It's a manic Monday, no doubt, but it's not a black Monday. So here, without further ado, is the President Netanyahu. Let's continue.
The people of our country, not foreign countries that are ripping off our country. And the country was never relatively, was never that kind of wealth. We had so much wealth, we didn't know what to do with our money. We had meetings, we had committees, and these committees worked tirelessly to study one subject. We have so much money. What are we going to do with it? Who are we going to give it to? And I hope we're going to be in that position again.
Mr. President, do you plan to reduce the tariffs that your government put on Israeli goods, 17%?
Where?
On Israeli goods. The 17%.
Well, we're talking about a whole new trade. Maybe not. Maybe not. Don't forget, we help Israel a lot. You know, we give Israel $4 billion a year. That's a lot. Congratulations, by the way. That's pretty good. But we give Israel billions of dollars a year. Billions. It's one of the highest of. And we give a lot of countries money. You wouldn't believe if I said we give Afghanistan a lot of money, didn't it? Because that was a Biden deal, another Biden deal. Not only did he embarrass us with that, but they give them billions of dollars, Afghanistan, right? So, but no, we take good care of our friends, and we don't take care of our enemies. We're not taking care of our enemies anymore, but we do take care of our friends.
To the Times of Israel, the IDF is fighting again in the Gaza Strip. I myself might be called up in a month. Do you think that's the way to pressure Hamas to get to a deal? Do you think blocking humanitarian aid is also an effective pressure?
Well, you know how I feel about the Gaza Strip. I think it's an incredible piece of important real estate, and I think it's something that we would be involved in, but, you know, having a peace force like the United States there, controlling and owning the Gaza Strip would be a good thing. Because right now, all it is for years and years, all I hear about is killing and Hamas and problems. And if you take the people, the Palestinians, and move them around to different countries, and you have plenty of countries that will do that, and you really have a freedom a freedom zone. You call it the freedom zone, a free zone, a zone where people aren't going to be killed every day. That's a hell of a place. It's a, you know what I call it, a great location that nobody wants to live in, because they really don't. And when they had good when they have good living, real living, where Hamas and all of the problems they have, the level of death on the Gaza Strip is just incredible. And I've said it. I don't understand why Israel ever gave it up. Israel owned it. It wasn't this man, so I can say it. He wouldn't have given it up. I know him very well. There's no way. They took oceanfront property and they gave it to people for peace. How did that work out? Not good.
Is the immigration, Mr. President, is the immigration plan still on the agenda?
Which immigration?
From Gaza.
All it is a concept that I had that I think is good, and now people are copying it. You know, maybe you want to tell, people are talking about the Trump plan. Gee, why don't we do that? Would you like to answer that question?
I think what the president talked about is, first of all, to give people a choice. You know, Gazans were closed in. Any other place, including in arenas of battle, I mean, whether it's Ukraine or Syria or any other place, people could leave. Gaza was the only place where they locked them in. We didn't lock them in. They're locked in. And what is wrong with giving people a choice? Now, we've been talking, including over lunch, about some countries, I won't go into them right now, that are saying, you know, if Gazans want to leave, we want to take them in. And I think this is the right thing to do. If you give, you know, it's going to take years to rebuild Gaza. In the meantime, people can have an option. The president has a vision. Countries are responding to that vision. We're working on it. I hope we'll have good news for you.
People really do love that vision. It's a long-term vision. But so importantly is to have that be a safe field. Because you're right smack in the middle of the Middle East. You're right along Israel. It should have never, ever been given away. It shouldn't have been given away by Israel. I don't know why they did it. I mean, I do know why, because they were promised peace, but that didn't work out too well, because it's one of the most dangerous pieces of land anywhere in the world. Gaza is one of the most dangerous places in the world. So they gave it away for a good intention, and it didn't work out that way. And a lot of people like my concept, but, you know, there are other concepts that I like, too. And there are some concepts I don't like. You know what? I don't like the way it is now, because right now it's a dangerous death trap, Gaza. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Can you talk a little bit about your potential meeting with Vladimir Putin? Do you still plan to meet with him? Could that happen in Saudi Arabia? And maybe you could elaborate as well a little bit on not providing tariffs on Russia, sir.
So the reason we're not talking about tariffs with Russia is because we're not doing business, essentially, with Russia, because they're in a war. And I'm not happy about what's going on with the bombing, because they're bombing like crazy right now. They're bombing. I don't know what's happening there. That's not a good situation. So we're meeting with Russia. We're meeting with Ukraine. And we're getting sort of close. But I'm not happy with all the bombing that's going on in the last week or so. Horrible. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing.
In terms of tariffs, yes.
Look, we've been ripped off and taken advantage of for 40, 50, 60 years. And the reason we got ripped off and the way they did it was tariffs. They would charge tariffs, massive numbers of dollars. And when you look at China, when I took over, it was at $507 billion they were making. I call it making. A lot of people say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. Having a surplus means a lot, in my opinion. It's almost like a profit or loss statement. And when I took over, it was $507 billion that China was. This is originally, first term. And we were very, very tough on them, because they were taking that money and they were building a military with it. Then when Biden came in, he let him get away with murder. He had no idea. I'll tell you what, that man had no idea what was happening, whether it was the border or China or anything else. He had no idea what was going on. And they went wild. China went wild. And the money they make is ridiculous, okay? It's just not going to happen. And hopefully we'll get along with China. If we do, that's great. And if we don't, that's okay, too. But we can't let that continue because that's an abuse. They abused the poor people that sat in the seat, that poor Biden. He was abused by them. They took advantage of him. And I'm surprised. You know, they have smart people. They were radical left lunatics, but they're smart. I'm surprised they'd allow that to take, you know, to happen. But we are going to bring great trade, and we're going to be fair to other countries. And I will say this, virtually every country wants to negotiate. If I didn't do what I did over the last couple of weeks, you wouldn't have anybody wants to negotiate. We would have gone to these countries, you want to talk, and they were, well, we don't want to talk. Now they're coming to us. They're offering things like even Bibi, and this is unrelated because it's a different kind of a relationship. But he started off our conversation today that he's cutting all of the tariffs. He's cutting everything. He's going to get down to a free base. He's going to do things that, in all fairness, other countries, if they said that, would have never even thought about doing it. Now they're offering things to us that we would have never even thought of asking them for because they're experiencing a lot of hurt. And the hurt is that they've taken advantage of us and we finally fought back. Tariffs will make this country very rich. We're rich anyway, but we're rich in a certain way. We have $36 trillion in debt. I want to get rid of it. And we can do it quickly with proper deals. So when countries don't allow us to sell our product, but we allow them to sell their product, when they charge us massive amounts of money for the privilege of going into their country, those days are over. Okay.
Me?
Sure.
Me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Iran, two questions, please. First, if you can give us more details about where the meeting on Saturday is going to take place.
I can just tell you there's a major meeting going on between us and Iran, and that'll take place on Saturday, and it's at top level.
And the second question about this. A lot of people think that those talks are not going to lead anywhere because the Iranians will never give up.
Sure. I think that's a possibility.
If diplomacy fails, is the United States, under your leadership, ready to take military action to destroy the Iranian nuclear program and remove this threat?
I think if the talks aren't successful with Iran, I think Iran is going to be in great danger. And I hate to say it. Great danger because they can't have a nuclear weapon.
So is that a yes?
You know, it's not a complicated formula. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. That's all there is.
So
can't have it.
Ready?
Right now, we have countries that have nuclear power that shouldn't have it. But I'm sure we'll be able to negotiate out of that too as part of this later on down the line. But Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if the talks are successful, I actually think it'll be a very bad day for Iran, if that's the case. Yeah.
Mr. President, on manufacturing,
Mr. President, was October 7th the death blow of the two-state solution, and would you consider classifying the Palestinian Authority as a terrorist organization for its continued paper slave terror financing payments?
So October 7th was a horrible day that some people, they deny it. Now, I can't believe they deny it from the standpoint of it. They do it because they think it's good politically. But October, I've seen the tapes. I've seen things that you don't want to see. October 7th was a horrible day, and it will go down as one of the really bad days in the history of the world. It was a horrible, horrible thing that happened. And they grabbed some of these people. I'll give you an example. When I was with the 10 hostages a few weeks ago, I said, so how many are there? 59. I said, oh, so 59, so we can get 59. They sort of knew the territory pretty good. And I said, how are they doing? They said, well, only 24 are living. The rest are dead. And these are young people, largely. Young people don't die. You know, young people have an amazing ability to live. They can live through horrible things. But these are young people. And when they said that, 24 are living and the rest are dead. And, you know, I've had parents come up, Israeli parents, largely. We have some Americans, and we have one left, Alex. But I've had Israeli parents come up to me at events and say, my son is there, I said, well, how's he doing? Well, he's dead. But would you do me the biggest favor ever? Could you bring his body back home? They talked about a young dead boy and a young dead girl like they were living. And that could have something to do with religion. That could have something to do with, I guess, maybe any parent would be. But I was surprised. And they said, sir, my son is dead. It is just as important to bring that body back home. I asked that question as if he were alive. So you have a lot of them dead, and we'll be able to bring them back. But it's a horrible thing that's happened. These are young, largely young people, some old ones too, frankly. And those people have lived in hell. When they came off, the second group that came out, they looked like they just got out of a concentration camp. They looked exactly like the pictures that I see from the 1940s, the concentration camps. And then they got a little bit better, you know, but that second group, those people came out and I said, this is unbelievable. We're going back into a chapter in history that is one of the worst ever. It's really very bad. Okay?
To get American manufacturing fully up to speed in response to these tariffs. What happens in the meantime? Should Americans be prepared potentially for years?
Yeah. I'll tell you what happens. We have now $7 trillion, think of this, $7 trillion of commitments from companies wanting to go in, from Apple to many, many companies.
But that takes time.
Many from Taiwan. What?
It takes time.
Of course it takes time. Well, are you asking me a question or are you telling me? Yeah, it takes time. You know, you got to build a thing called a factory. You have to build your energy. You have to do a lot of things. I'm giving them energy. You know, we're going to let them build their own power plants. They'll be their own. Essentially, they're going to be in charge of the power plant because our power is not reliable enough. You have a grid that's old and susceptible to a lot of things, including bombing and weather and a lot of other things. And we're going to give them record timing in terms of approvals of electric plants. Most of them want to build electric plants. We need massive amounts of electricity if we're going to compete with China and others. And interestingly, we're way ahead right now in the AI race with China. But the way we lose that race is if we can't give them electric. But we have more plants being built. We have everything. We're doing so great. And we want to keep it that way. And tariffs will be an important part of it. But one of the other things, Lee Zeldin's doing a fantastic job, head of environmental protection. And he's doing very rapid approvals for people to get, for big companies to that are going to build a plant that's going to cost billions of dollars. And we're going to get them their approvals. They have to be environmentally perfect, everything good. But they're going to be in record time, a matter of months versus a matter of many, many years.
Lisa Rozovsky from Haaretz. Turkey claims it will stabilize the situation in Syria.
Turkey?
Yeah. Israel doesn't want Turkey to influence it, yeah. Syria. What do you think? Do you think Turkey's influence in Syria can actually make it a better, more peaceful country, or vice versa?
Well, I have great relations with a man named Erdogan. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
And I happen to like him, and he likes me, and I know the press will get very angry. He likes Erdogan, but I do, and he likes me, and we've never had a problem, and we've gone through a lot, and we've never had a problem. We've always gotten, as you remember, we got our minister back from Turkey. You remember that? And this was a big deal at the time. And we got him back. And I told the prime minister, I said, just, Bibi, if you have a problem with Turkey, I really think I'm going to be able to work it out. You know, I have a very, very good relationship with Turkey and with their leader. And I think we'll be able to work it out. So I hope that's not going to be a problem. I don't think it will be a problem. Now, with that being said, I believe it was Turkey. And I said that to him. I said it. I said, congratulations. You've done what nobody's been able to do in 2,000 years. You've taken over Syria with different names, but same thing. I said, you've taken it over. He's taken it over through surrogates. He goes, no, it was not me. I said, it was you. But that's okay. You don't have to say, well, sort of maybe it was me. Okay. But what he did, he said, look, he's a tough guy. And he's very smart. And he did something that nobody was able to do. You know, you got to hand it to him. Any problem that you have with Turkey, I think I can So, I mean, as long as you're reasonable. You have to be reasonable. We have to be reasonable. Thank you very much, everybody.
Press, get out, press, get out. All right, that's that. There we go. President Netanyahu talking about a lot of different things today, including trade. And yeah, lots of digest from there, from that, I should say. And also, Fauci's warning about a global pandemic. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Our buddy Bill DeAgostino from Media Research Center Newsbusters is going to be on the show in a little bit today. And we're also going to talk to Phil Kirpin about why Congress needs to act right now, pass tax cuts and deregulation now. So I want to give you some insight into what's happening on Capitol Hill around all of that. I think it's very, very important that we talk about that as well. But the good news, look, is that the market did not have a great day, although the Nasdaq's in the green, Dow's down, but not by a lot, and the S&P's down, but not by a lot either. So there was no Black Monday. It was no panic of, you know, people jumping off buildings. And then some people expected that. Some people were warning of that. Some people were saying that today was going to be as bad as 1987. Didn't happen. So that's good news. It shows the resilience of the economy. Now, I think a lot of that is also predicated on the fact that these countries are coming to negotiate. They want to negotiate. And Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was out there saying they want to have good faith negotiations with these 50 various countries to have these conversations. So that's good news. And we'll talk more about that as we go on today with the show. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. You can also jump in the YouTube chat. Sharon, I'm sorry about Duke, but, you know, what can I tell you? That rivalry goes back a long time. We were both in the ACC. What can I say? And I also want to let you know that if you are thinking about Memorial Day, you got to start thinking about it now. Because before you know it, it's going to be here. And then you're going to want to book your stay. And then you're going to find out that it's booked in Cape May. So make sure you make a reservation at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And you do it now, because before you know it, it's going to be summertime. All right. It's going to be summer. And we'll be there for our next live show on June 20th. But if you don't make your Memorial Day plans now, then you're going to miss out. So here's what you want to do. Book your June midweek stay and save. Stay three nights and you're going to get $60 a night in resort credit. Five nights gets you $70 a night. Stay seven nights, you're going to receive $80 a night in resort credit. Use your resort credits to make purchases of food and beverage purchases in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, or the beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower, and so much more. With four ballrooms, 17,000 square feet of the perfect private party space to make your lifetime memories. Just call my friend Caitlin. She'll make all your event dreams come true. You'll love Cape May. It's beautiful. If you've never been there, it's absolutely gorgeous. And you'll love Memorial Day weekend there as well. So make your reservation today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com, excuse me, or call them directly at 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550, or visit them online, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Outside of tariffs, a judge has just ruled that the order to return that man who was deported to El Salvador, John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the court, has temporarily blocked that judge's order. So the Supreme Court has temporarily blocked the order requiring the return of the wrongly deported migrant. The government said Judge Paula Zinnix, who ordered that the administration return the migrant, Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia, had engaged in district court diplomacy. So Chief Justice John Roberts blocked a trial judge's order directing the United States to return this Salvadorian migrant that was sent to this particular place. The Chief Justice, acting on his own, issued an administrative stay an interim measure meant to give the justices some breathing room while the full court considers the matter. He ordered the migrants' lawyers to file their brief on Tuesday. This order comes just hours after the administration asked the court to block the trial judge's order directing the United States to return the migrant by 11:59 p.m. tonight. This is a federal district court judge in Maryland. So now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court stepping in here and saying that this is after the Solicitor General of the United States said this judge had exceeded her authority by engaging in district court diplomacy. So that's a good transition. It's a big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. If you've been putting off getting that dental implant consultation, don't put it off anymore. Reach out to him today for your free implant consultation or a second opinion on complicated dental work. Just go to veneriadental.com or 856-786-2020. Good transition to welcome back to the show, Bill DeAgostino. He's on X at @band_Bill. He's the man with the Media Research Center, and he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Bill, what's going on, my man?
I'm doing well. What's up with your Phillies this year?
You mean that
looking nice?
You sound surprised by that. We changed the lineup. We made a couple changes, and it's all working great.
It's working fantastically. Yeah. Although I will say, I'm probably not going to get the same amount of sympathy from you, but we're doing all right too. Although
who's we?
Got my little team here, but
I'm not looking at you on camera. I'm looking.
Oh,
at
I'm
this.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Yankees, big Yankees fan.
Oh, big Yankee. Well, with your magic bats, yeah, and you guys with your magic bats and gloves, you should probably win everything.
Yeah, I asked for that. I definitely asked for that one.
You know, that was a local company. It's actually making those super magical bats for you guys, based right here in our area. Do you know that?
Well, good. Buy American.
Buy American. American Magic Bats.
There you go.
You guys, the Yankees should also get these gigantic mitts. You know what I mean? Like body-sized mitts, so then they don't even have to worry about catching it. It could just land in them.
You know, and I think the Babylon Bee actually wrote a piece about that. They had some photoshopped, like, gigantic baseball mitt bigger than the guy, like, running around in the outfield catching balls.
I mean, why not? People dress up all the time. You're just right. A human glove. You're a human mitt. Well, it's good to have you back on the show. And, hey, maybe the Phils will play the Yanks in the World Series this year. That could be fun. You never know, right? Stranger things have happened. Yeah. Let's talk about this. I just gave the breaking news regarding John Roberts' order. You actually have a video to put out on Friday about the way the media is covering this guy. So tell us about this guy who was just ordered, at least by John Roberts, not to be returned to the United States by 11:59 p.m. tonight.
Right. Well, first I'll say that if you were somebody who got the totality of their news from either CNN or MSNBC, there is, at least based on a study that we did looking at their coverage, a greater than 50% chance that you think that the Trump administration just accidentally arrested the wrong guy who happens to actually be an American citizen and deported him by accident.
Right.
That is, in fact, not what happened.
A father. You got to remember that father, because fathers are never criminals, Bill. There's not been a single case where a man who was reproduced has committed a crime. It's important to know that.
That's true. Yeah, it's a biological fact. It's actually that. Yeah, no, you would think, right, based on the way they're talking about it. But yeah, so we found like 120 instances of them describing him, referring to him only as a Maryland man or a Maryland father.
Maryland father. I saw that everywhere. Every time I saw that, I said, thank God we didn't have that in a drinking game. Maryland father. Be done. Toast.
You'd be done. Yeah, no, exactly. No, nobody can stomach 120 drinks. I think John Bonham would only be the only person who could even make it like a quarter of the way through that game, and he's no longer with us. So, yeah, no, Maryland father. He actually came here in 2011 illegally from El Salvador. He's an El Salvadorian national. He was, in fact, not born here. And in 2019, a judge issued a final order of removal on the grounds that he was here illegally and a danger, because the judge at least determined that he was likely a member of MS-13. An appeal panel later upheld that as well, the removal. So this guy applied for asylum then as kind of a last ditch effort. And the second judge in this asylum case wouldn't grant him asylum. rejected the claim, but said, OK, if you're really that scared for your life, we'll give you a temporary withholding of removal to El Salvador, which is different than temporary protected status. A withholding of removal basically just means you're still removable. You're still here illegally, but we can't send you to that one specific country because you fear for your life there. And we don't want to be complicit in you dying. That is not how the media have been covering this, as you well know.
Right. It's not how the media has been covering this, not even close, as we all know. So you put together a compilation and you put this out on Friday. And I got to say, Bill is one of the most talented guys out there when it comes to these video compilations. He also has a story about it at newsbusters.org, which is a site we check daily on this show. So shall we take a listen and a watch if you're streaming us live on YouTube right now with senior research analyst at the Media Research Center, Bill DeAgostino, Cut 23.
A critical hearing today in the case of a Maryland father mistakenly sent to that notorious prison in El Salvador.
Attorneys for the Maryland man who was mistakenly deported to a prison in El Salvador are making another push for his return today.
The Trump administration heads to federal court today after being accused of wrongfully deporting a Maryland father to El Salvador.
The Maryland man deported to El Salvador after an administrative error.
There's actually a court hearing involving the Maryland father.
The Maryland father's case is in court.
And happening now, a hearing for a Maryland man.
Details about a Maryland man. Tonight, the Maryland man.
The Maryland man.
Maryland father with protected legal status.
The Maryland father with protected status.
A Maryland father with protected legal status.
A Maryland father with protected legal status.
The Maryland father.
That Maryland father.
A Maryland father.
The Maryland father.
A Maryland father.
A Maryland father.
A Maryland father.
A Maryland father.
One of the things that struck me was the lawyer for the Maryland man saying there is Maryland no such father. Thing as a removal order to nowhere.
It's a Maryland father, not just a man, Bill. He's a father, okay? That means the man has reproduced. That means that his boy's work, his family jewels work, okay?
Straight. Chris Jansing, I guess, didn't get the memo. Yeah, I think it's disrespectful the way she just called him a Maryland man there. I think she needs to get with the program. But yeah, so that whole segment there in the middle where they keep saying protected legal status, that's not a legal term. That's an incredibly mealy-mouthed, intentionally misleading way of saying or of referring to that withholding of removal. Right. And the reason that they're phrasing it like that is because it sounds like temporary protected status, which he does not have and never did have. But you see the way this works, right? You see how disingenuous they're being.
So he should have been deported. There was a deportation order on this guy. He was sent to the wrong place, right? That was the thing. They shouldn't have sent him to the prison that they sent him to. They could have sent him, I think, literally anywhere else. That's really what the issue is that we're talking about. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Basically, they sidestepped the withholding of removal. But I will say also, this is something that they could easily get lifted and are probably working to get lifted right now, because the whole basis for his withholding of removal was that he feared for his life based on this one gang, like the 18th Street Gang, I think it's called, something like that, that was running rampant in El Salvador back in like 2019. Bukele has basically annihilated that gang. I mean, they're essentially completely gone.
Yeah.
So there is no reason for him to be worried at this point about any of them coming after him in El Salvador, because they're not really there anymore. They're basically completely eradicated. So I suspect that this withholding of removal will probably be repealed at some point if the administration seeks that kind of relief. But regardless, when they say mistakenly deported, they don't mean he was supposed to stay here. They just mean, oh, we sent him to the wrong country.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think this is the big mistake the media made here, is that there may be an issue at some point where somebody who legit does not deserve to be deported gets deported.
Right.
But instead of waiting for that to happen, and then making that person the big deal. They make a big deal about this guy, and you dig into his history and his past, and you find out he's a total scumbag, and that he'd been ordered to be deported, and that he'd had more due process than most people get in our own justice system. So this is, again, it's a classic example of the media being so desperate to find a story of somebody who gets an innocent American citizen swept up here by Trump's ruthless immigration thugs, and they get it totally wrong. And that's the problem, is that, you know, if this does happen to somebody who doesn't deserve it, people are going to look at it and shrug and be like, I'm sure he's probably an MS-13 gang member or something else. That's why they just keep losing all the credibility.
Exactly. Yeah, they're crying wolf because they can't wait for a real story that is actually sympathetic to come up. And so they have to concoct one, and then they end up with egg on their face for the thousandth time again. And then they look around and go, God, why are Americans so heartless?
Right. Exactly right. CNN's Kate, how do you say her last name? Is it Baldwin?
Baldwin. Yeah, I don't.
Baldwin.
I have no idea what that's spelling. I mean, I assume that's some kind of Irish. I don't
know. It's B-O-L-D-U-A-N. Baldwin, but it's got a U instead of a W. I'm trying to teach my five-year-old the English language. It's not easy, and this is only going to complicate things. So maybe we'll hold off on telling her who Kate Baldwin is for the moment. So CNN's Baldwin's.
Wait 2 more decades for that.
Yeah. I can't believe CNN's still on. I'm amazed. I can't believe Joe and Mika are still on. All of these things just confound me that these people still have jobs, Bill, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Although I will say, don't take my morning Joe away. I think that is fantastic television.
He gives you guys a lot of content over at Newsbusters.
Yeah. In the same way, like if you took The View away. I have a coworker and actually my girlfriend who writes for The Caller, too. She would also lose her mind. She also will go to the mat to defend Joe and Mika because she writes about them like it's a gossip column almost. If they fight on the air, The Daily Caller will have something about it like every day.
Well, you know, we should talk about the fact that George Clooney called out Joe and Mika, right? Because he said that Mika blamed him for the op-ed that getting Biden out of the race, which, of course, she's one of the rare times I think she's actually correct. There's no way George Clooney did that on his own. That was completely driven by Barack Obama. But the little like back and forth they had with Clooney and the people over at Morning Joe. Now, that's something right there.
Yeah, no, it's Jerry Springer of left wing politics is what it is. And I love it. I think it's fantastic.
So why was Kate Baldwin so upset on Friday?
Well, she got some bad news. The jobs numbers were better than expected, which, of course, you know, is good news for the Trump administration and therefore bad news for America and certainly Kate Baldwin.
Right, obviously. Well, let's take a watch and a listen. Cut 24.
More breaking news now. The March jobs report just released moments ago, telling us that the U.S. economy added a stronger than expected 228,000 jobs last month, and as the unemployment rate changed only slightly, now at 4.2%. Matt Hegan, back with us. Okay.
Oh, okay. I mean, just a bummer. Bill, what a terrible way to start a Friday. She was all excited to go into her weekend happy, and you got to ruin it for her. Jobs.
Did she hear that exasperated chuckle that she gave at the end there? Oh, my God. It's incredible. And just for context, I should have actually made this as a video. We have a video from like 2021 of all of these CNN anchors talking as though there's somebody standing just off screen with like a gun or something, because they're trying to frame a $0.03 drop in gas prices as this incredible story, because the Biden administration had called a bunch of network heads into the White House the previous week and said, look, you got to ease up on the economy. You have to push any good news that we have. And like clockwork, then the next week, all of these CNN anchors are like, relief at the pump, sort of. $0.03 is better than nothing, right, guys? Like for like a full week, that was the economic coverage. It was brutal.
I remember at the time that happened, I remember referencing, remember in The Simpsons when they had the discount gas station across the street and it was 0.8 instead of 0.9. Yeah. It's kind of reminded me of that. And they were just so desperate to hang on for anything. All right. MSNBC fill-in host Melissa Murray Now, who the hell is Melissa Murray? I got to ask you that. Who is she?
I mean, that question basically is the answer. She's an MSNBC fill-in host who just kind of showed up out of nowhere about a year ago, I think. And I mean, she was doing a bit of reporting for them before that. But yeah, she shows up on like the weekend shows when the anchor, you know, maybe has a sore throat or something. So she was filling in for the illustrious Ali Velshi, who I think everybody remembers from the 2020 protests, where he was the guy standing in front of the burning gas station. And he goes, "No, I want to be careful with my words here. I don't want to use the term unruly, but fires have broken out." That was Ali Velshi. So she is second banana to that excellent reporter.
Well, let's say listen to her decrying how voter ID laws are racist. Cut 25.
So many Americans of voting age don't have the documents that the new order requires in order to vote. For example, millions of Americans don't have access to their birth certificates. About 50% of Americans don't have a passport. And millions of people would be required to present multiple documents if they've changed their name, whether because of marriage or for some other reason. And as is often the case with voter suppression, these new restrictions would disproportionately impact minority voters and low-income voters.
Here's what I don't understand. Why is it that they assume that black people don't have access to their birth certificates, don't get passports, don't fly anywhere, don't leave the country, don't go on vacation? I mean, it just paints the most racist picture possible of these individuals.
Right, right. I mean, they think of them like their children, helpless little children. And it should be insulting. Right. I mean, and have you ever seen these videos where people go around asking black people like, "Hey, is it true that none of you guys know how to get an ID?" And they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Right. And they're like, "Well, yeah, because, you know, it's racist to make people get an ID." Right. And they're like, "What? No, you're racist. What are you talking about?" it's a fantasy of these people. And of course, let's be honest, Rich, like they don't really believe any of the things that they're saying here. They just oppose the idea of requiring ID to vote.
Right.
Right. And I mean, I think everybody can fill in the blanks as to why that is. But if you're going to mount this aggressive of a counter campaign to just requiring people to prove who they are before they vote in a federal election, then a lot of people ought to be questioning your motives. And I don't think that, well, it's because it's racist or whatever is a very convincing explanation for a lot of people, especially when you factor in the fact that not only do the majority of Americans support voter ID, but actually the vast majority of non-white Americans do as well. It's something like 70 to 80%, depending on what ethnic group that you're polling. But I don't think there's anybody below at least 70% support. So I don't know. Somebody could tell her that, but I don't think it would make much of a difference for some reason.
Don't you need to show ID to get like Social Security benefits and Medicare and all kinds of different benefits from the federal government? So, I mean, if it's racist, it's racist. And you shouldn't have to ever show ID to enter a federal building or do anything because it's just racist. It can't just be racist when it comes to voting, but not racist in all the other times that you use it. That just absolutely doesn't make any sense, of course, other than they're pushing a narrative. So,
right,
you know.
Right, exactly.
Like they'll say it's a constitutional right, but then if I turn around and said, "Okay, then get rid of me showing an ID to buy a firearm," they're like, "You can't do that. People will die." So,
right, that constitutional right is different. I don't like that one. Therefore, it doesn't count. That's that's always the soft implication of their disagreement there.
Yeah. All right. Well, this one's a little bit old, but I'm glad you're here with us, Bill, to talk about it. This is Leslie Stahl. I didn't realize she had a job either. I guess I just don't watch enough TV. I know it's your job at Newsbusters to watch TV. So, you know, that's what we often do in life. We want to do our part. And certainly you, Bill D'Agostino, on X at @band_Bill, you do your part. But I didn't realize Leslie Stahl was still around. We should also, can you refresh our memory of the conversation she had with Donald Trump many, many years ago? I think it was 60 Minutes, right?
Oh, yeah. She was incredibly aggressive with him the entire time. And they selectively edited a decent amount of that interview, too, because he started calling out the whole Biden, Ukraine kind of like pay for play stuff. And she just kept interrupting him and saying, "No, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of that, sir." And they just, when he started like, you know, listing what evidence he had. They just cut that entirely out of the interview. She is irredeemably left wing. She's always been an activist. And yeah, believe it or not, she's still going around doing her old bit.
So what is this clip about?
So this is an interview with a fortunately now released Jewish man who was a Hamas hostage. And you would think that the interviewer in that case would, you know, maybe be a little bit sympathetic to him.
Yeah.
And maybe not try to get him to sympathize with his captors live on television. But that's because you're not Leslie Stahl. So that's as much of as I'll tease it.
She's always been a big fan of the Helsinki syndrome, in her defense. Here's cut 26.
The terrorists became very mean and very cruel and violent.
More so.
Much more so. They were beating me and starving me.
Do you think they starved you or they just didn't have food?
No, I think they starved me, and they would often eat in front of me and not offer me food.
Stockholm syndrome, first of all, damn it. But secondly, really? They just didn't have any food, so they were all in it with you? They were just suffering along with you? I mean, come on, Bill.
Right, what a psycho. And to say that to his face, like, are you sure, Mr. Former Captive, are you sure that they were being mean to you? Are you sure that they're not victims? Right, because that's the underlying subtext here, right? Is it's like, well, no. They're oppressed here. You're missing the context here, sir. Look, I know you were kidnapped, but they're an oppressed minority, so you need to be understanding.
That was Keith Siegel, Jewish American. He was held in Hamas captivity for 484 days.
Jeez.
I mean, and then the fact that he goes, no, they were eating, and they were eating in front of us too. But again, it's no compassion. It's just no empathy whatsoever. It is, to your point, trying to advance an agenda that they're victims too. They just happen to be victims, right, who held you hostage. So
right, yeah, and like props to him for being so calm about that.
Just, yeah,
no, they had food. I saw them eat actually right in front of me. Like, I would.
Oh, it'd have been me. Are you freaking kidding me, lady? They were eating in front of me, and constantly in front of me. I had to smell it too. All right, are you freaking nuts?
Right. Yeah. No. The guy has the patience of a saint, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I get mad if I come home and I've got that cold slice of pizza in the fridge, and you got your mind set on that all day, and you come home and somebody else is eating it. You know what I mean? It's like the worst. That's the worst. Or when you have it this like, in your mind, I got leftover pasta in the fridge. And where's my pot? Because you're all ready for it. But nothing comes close to the level of cruelty and humanity displayed by Hamas to this man for 484 freaking days. And she just can't even. But you sure they weren't just hungry? Maybe they just didn't have Instacart. They couldn't just order some groceries. Right. Awful. Awful.
Right. Right. And she doesn't even address what he said right before that, which is that they were routinely beating him.
Right.
Right. She's like, OK, well, look, that's inconvenient. But I'm pretty sure they just didn't have food, Keith.
Are you sure they weren't beating themselves? Because maybe that was also happening. That could be taken.
Are you sure they didn't trip? Was the floor slippery, Keith?
Bill, always a pleasure, my man. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Follow Bill on X at @Ban_Bill and check out Newsbusters, newsbusters.org. They do great work over there. Media Research Center. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Rich. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let me tell you, we'll take a quick break. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up. We got a lot of great things to get to that we haven't even begun to get to, because obviously President Trump spoke for most of the hour today. The good news is that the NASDAQ finished in the green, the Dow finished in the red, but only down by 0.91%. So not the end of the world. And the S&P finished in the red. But again, this is not the Monday that some prognosticators were saying. The S&P is down 11.83 and 0.23%. Again, it's not great, but it's also not Black Monday 1987, where you're going to have companies going out of business and people taking their lives and jumping off roofs. So, I mean, they may do that, but that shouldn't be for this. All right, we got more to come, more to say, 30 minutes of nonstop talk. We're streaming live on YouTube. So join the fun. 1210 WPHT is our YouTube page. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.